Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Amen. Man, I felt like I was about to keep going. I was about to preach for you, John. My bad. The Spirit is moving. All right. John.
Thank you, Wes. Oh, man. Well, thank you guys for sharing your testimonies. Love you, brother, for sure. You too, sister, even though you were thinking about leaving the church. That's the thing, you know, when you open up the microphone and you let the Lord speak, hey, we're keeping it real around here. So if you're looking for a church family to plug into, I think this is a really good one because it is just God's people doing life together and being real about who we are and where we're at. And if you're feeling in a similar position, like, you know what, hey, we've pulled away, whether you're watching online now, maybe you've pulled away from our in-person services, or maybe you're here and you're saying, I've just kind of pulled away from involvement. Let me encourage you to do some of that soul searching that Dawn mentioned and say, hey, you know what, I need to push back in. And no matter how many times maybe someone's knocked on a door, or sent a text, or made a phone call, or whatever it might be, ultimately, when it comes to your spiritual life and your spiritual growth, God's chasing you down. He wants you involved and engaged in the life of His family, not my family, not my church, His church. So the opportunities are wide open. So speaking about keeping it real, my wife and kids are out of town this week for spring break. They went to go visit Christy's mom and dad, and so earlier on in the week, I went up to the grocery store to buy just a bunch of meats that I had a goal of cooking all meals on the grill this week, which was accomplished, by the way. So I did not cook anything inside the house. Everything was on the grill. So I pulled into the grocery store. I'm like, all right, it's go time. And as I pulled into the parking spot, I realized that there was a guy in the car that I pulled up next to, and he was about my age, probably a couple of years older than me, wearing like a tank top, sitting in his car. I guess he was maybe waiting for somebody who was inside the grocery store to come out. And you ever catch somebody doing something and you feel awkward? Like, oh, I'm not gonna make eye contact with them right away because they'll be embarrassed for what they're doing. So I pulled in, I whipped into the parking space, and the dude was sitting there with his cell phone up on the steering wheel, and he was taking a bunch of selfies. Now, that makes me feel awkward. That's normalized in our society now, but this dude was no model. I mean, he kind of looked like me. He looked a little like just a roughneck, you know, just like, and he was just like, he couldn't get the right picture. So he just kind of had it on the steering wheel, and he was kind of giving that pouty lips look, and I'm like, bro, looks like he just got off a construction site. Smoking, his cigarette was down to a nub, and he was just trying to get the right thing. And I looked over, and I realized he doesn't care that I see him right now. He's just like, whatever. Because his audience was not me. His audience was whoever he was posting that out there for. And I don't know. But that's a snapshot, I think, of a lot of the ways that we are. We don't like to admit it. Sometimes we see it in other people. But sometimes we put on a show, right? We want to put on an image or portray this idea about who we are, even if it's a touched-up photograph of us looking cool, smoking a Marlboro, you know, whatever it is. And Jesus warns us against that. In fact, we'll see that today in several different ways over the next few Sundays, where he gives us a warning about being fake, about pretending to be something that we're not, because it really doesn't do us any good to live that kind of a life. There's no reward in that. It's gone in an instant. Sure, you might get a few likes, right? A few thumbs up or whatnot. But the people that you are impressing 10 seconds later have forgotten about the little bit of approval that you got, and that shot in the arm that you got in that short term quickly fades away, and then you're looking for that next parking lot, grocery store photograph to get that next high, to get that next bit of approval. And so we don't want to be those people who live that kind of life. Jesus doesn't want that for us either. Lord, we come to you in prayer. God, thank you that you offer us a life lived with you, Lord, a life of righteousness, not self-righteousness, not holy rollers, but Lord, just living the right kind of life that you've laid out for us, the abundant life. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Going through the book of Matthew here at Belmont, got all the way to chapter 6. We'll start that today. So we're right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And so our sermon series is entitled Your Kingdom Come, because if you read the book of Matthew all the way through, and I encourage you to do that, even if you've already done it before or if you've joined us recently here at Belmont, we're going to be in the book of Matthew for a while. So let me encourage you to read the book straight through from beginning to end. It'll take you about the same amount of time that it would take you to watch a movie on a Friday night. And so if you do that, you'll pick up on a lot of the themes that are in there, one of those major ones being the kingdom of heaven and the fact that you and I are citizens in that kingdom as followers of Jesus. And so Jesus is telling us, as citizens of his kingdom, how we should live and how we should be different than the citizens of this world. So we just got through a short section in chapter 5 where Jesus says, hey, you know what? If you want to be part of my kingdom, your righteousness actually has to exceed or be better than the righteousness of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees look pretty righteous. I mean, they look pretty churchy. I don't know how we could keep up with them. And Jesus reveals the heart behind a lot of the laws that were given. He said, hey, you heard it said, don't murder. But I'm telling you, the heart behind that is don't even get angry at other people, like, because your heart is just out of control. And you've heard it said, don't commit adultery. I'm telling you, don't even lust. Don't even let sinful, lustful thoughts get into your mind and your heart, because that's like adultery. And you've heard it said, you know, don't swear an oath. I'm just telling you, just be a person of integrity all the time. You know, and you've heard it said, boom, somebody hits you, you hit them back. I'm telling you, don't retaliate. And so there's all these kinds of ways that Jesus is saying, you've heard this, but I'm telling you, don't even do this. Now we're kind of turning the page, going to the next chapter a little bit, and Jesus is actually now starts to talk about three things that we should be doing. He talks about giving to the needy. He talks about prayer, and he talks about fasting, and he calls them these practices of righteousness that you and I should be doing. So instead of not doing some things like lusting and being angry and all those kinds of things, we should be practicing these other kinds of things and doing those. But even in that, just doing them isn't good enough. Because now Jesus is starting to get at the motivation behind why we do those things, because the Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So our heart is so jacked up that we could actually go through the motion of doing right, godly-looking things and still have zero spiritual motive behind it, because we're just doing it for the praise of man. And so today we're talking about quiet generosity, right, Wesley? So, and he talks about these rewards that we get when we do these things for the right reasons, and the rewards that we don't get when we do them for the wrong reasons. So take some notes today. Number one is a warning about motive. So let's just read verse one. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. Why? For then you'll have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So Jesus starts out saying, beware, watch out, man. I'm giving you a warning. Why does Jesus need to warn us about this, about doing things in front of other people to be seen by them? Because he knows that our tendency is to long for those things. Even if we start out doing something for the right reason, a lot of the times we start doing it just because it's expected, or because we feel pressure, or because we like the pat on the back. And Jesus is giving us as his followers a warning that this is a trap that you could fall into. So guard your heart. Take that warning this morning about your motivation for doing acts of righteousness. And really what we should take is this verse one, beware, this warning. And it's a general warning about doing acts of righteousness. So we're going to read this actually the next several weeks as we talk about giving today, as we talk about prayer, and then as we talk about fasting, because that's really what this is, like an introductory remark to all three of these things. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people. Now get it that Jesus didn't say don't practice righteousness. Because he actually wants you to be in the practice, right? You know how it is. We've already heard this morning, when you get out of practice, it's really hard to pick the practices back up. So you and I need to stay in practice. That is, we need to be practicing spiritual disciplines for the right reason. So he's not saying don't do those things, but he is saying practice your righteousness, because it's just kind of like working out. If you practice doing those things, Z shared earlier about how first thing in the morning, boom, she gets on her knees and she prays. That's a great practice to keep up, right? And the more you do that, the stronger you get in that, and you don't want to be pulled out of that. And so, but if you haven't been doing that, for some reason, it could seem really hard to start that, right? Like, you know, one good excuse is, you know what I need to do? That. I'll start that tomorrow. Anybody ever do that? I'm going to start that. That's a really good thing for me to start really soon. Yeah, like now. So put that on your notes. Start that now. If you need to get down on your knees right now, just take a moment and get started right away. And he gets to the motivation, and he said, to be seen by them, to be seen by people. That word seen there, it's a big word. It's the Greek word theaomai. It's a weird sounding word, right? So this word seen is that word theaomai, and that just means to view attentively, to contemplate. And it was often used about public shows or theaters. In fact, that is where we get our word theater. So Jesus is saying, you guys are pretending like you're on a stage, and you're doing this as if you're being watched by the public, and that is the reason that you're doing it. That's the warning that he's given, is that you're just an actor. And let's be real. All of us, if you've been in church for a minute, you know, you've become really good actors. You know, it's been said that all of life is a stage, right? And we're all just actors on it. But we don't want to be those people. But we know how to come to the doors and be like, what's up? Yeah, praise the Lord, brother. And then we can go home and be completely different people. I mean, it's not healthy. It's not good. And then you begin to ask yourself, who is the real me, right? Like, is the real me the jerk that I am at home, and the person that doesn't care about the Lord and doesn't get on my knees and pray and doesn't open the Bible? Now I'm like searching the house for my Bible on a Sunday morning so I can bring it because I'm putting on a show. It's something to ask ourselves to make sure that we're being genuine and being real. And so he goes on to say, because if you do it for that, then there'll be no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So if your goal, your motivation was to impress other people and to receive their praise, then you've received your reward. That's what you went, if that's what you did it for. But if you do it for the right reasons, then you will be rewarded. So let's get into our first, example here. And he talks about giving to the needy. Verse 2. Thus, when you give to the needy, and once again, remember, he's assuming that that's what you and I will do, is that we will give to the needy. We will pay attention to the needs of other people, and we will come alongside to meet those needs. We've heard some examples of that this morning, of just saying, hey, I recognize somebody's in need. I'm either going to give financially, I'm going to give my time, my resources to love that brother or sister or that person that I don't even know, and I'm going to be generous as a kingdom citizen. Thus, when you give to the needy, by the way, if that's not one of your practices of righteousness, get into practice of doing that, right? Because it's really easy to get out of that practice and instead to allow greed or self-preservation to keep you from being generous with what God has blessed you with. But that's the wrong mindset. So John Wesley has famously said that the question that we should be asking is not how much of my money will I give to God, right? Because without thinking about it, that could be the way that we approach it. It's like, how much of my money will I give to God? But he says instead of that, we should say, how much of God's money will I keep for myself? That's a kingdom way of thinking, is that everything that I have, my life, my breath, my family, my health, my home, my car, whatever it is that I have, that is all a gift from God. My job, my finances, that's His. I'm just a steward. And so how much of God's money am I going to keep for myself? And the rest, we are to be a conduit, to be a blessing to others in our lives. And so sometimes people will say something like this, man, I tell you what, that is something I'm going to do soon, right? I'm going to start being a generous person. Like, I've been playing the lottery. I mean, I haven't, but you have, right? And if I win the lottery, man, I'm going to give God a good chunk. Right? Like a good percentage. Like maybe a whole 10%. I'm going to become a generous. When I get that job that I want, where I'm making lots of money, man, I'm going to be a really generous person. People are going to be wowed by my generosity. But right now, I can't be generous. I have to keep everything for myself. And I know that seems a little selfish and greedy, but that's just where I'm at right now. Let me tell you this, that when that day comes, and it may not because God doesn't bless that kind of a lifestyle, that you won't. That if you're not generous with what you currently have, you won't be generous when you get a little bit more. That's just the way that that thing works, because the problem is with your heart. It's not with the amount of things that you have. And so Jesus goes on to say, thus, when you give to the needy, so make it a practice, give to the needy. If you got a problem with that, give something away today, all right? Not some junk that's in your closet either, like that you've been trying to get rid of. I'm really generous. I got all this stuff that I can't wait to get rid of. And in fact, people still do that here at Belmont, right? Every once in a while, I'll pull up to the office here, and there'll be like five bags of big black trash bags full of junk. And someone's just like, and they left it, no note, nothing. It's like blocking the door. I can't even get in the door. And it's like, thank you very much for giving me all the stuff you didn't want anymore. And so that's not generous. Generous is really sacrificial when it costs you something, when it kind of hurts the flesh a little bit, but it heals and helps the spirit man. Thus, when you give to the needy, let's get past that line. Sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue, in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Hypocrites, right? What's a hypocrite? That word, maybe not. You are? All right, all right. Hey, I think we all got some of that in us. You know what a hypocrite is, or what a hypocrite was back in this day? It's an actor. It's an assumed character that you would play. It's somebody who wears a mask on a stage. So Jesus has already mentioned the stage earlier, like we're doing it to be seen by others in the theater. And then he's like, now you're hypocrites, you're actors on a stage, and your whole intent for doing these things, like giving to the needy, could be you are just wanting to be seen by other people. And he's saying, don't do that, right? Don't be like these hypocrites who sound a trumpet when they give. And so the image there that you should be picking up on is that somebody is blowing their own horn, right? It's like they've determined that they're going to give something, and instead of giving quietly, they've decided, man, it would be a shame if I did this very generous thing and no one knew about it. I mean, like, what's the point? I mean, if I take an awesome selfie and I don't share it, I'm not blessing the world. And I want to be pumped up a little bit. I want people to know I'm sharing these good looks or whatever it is that you're giving away with others. And Jesus is going, that's so fake. Like, that is so fake to be like that. It would be like pulling up down here at the stoplight by the interstate and somebody's there holding a cardboard sign asking for a little bit of help. And you get out of your horn, right? I mean, you get out of your car and you start blowing the trumpet and walking around instead of just handing somebody some money or being a blessing to somebody or maybe passing them a sandwich. That might be, even be a better idea to be like, stop traffic. Hey, everybody, I'm about to bless this person. So I'm an actor on a stage. Take a bow. Did you see what I did? Or maybe the way for you is later on you were generous in the moment, but then later you just can't resist telling somebody else what you did so that their image of you will be raised up so that they'll know that you did that thing. And that is the deception of the human heart. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. That's the whole intention right there, is that they want to be praised by other people. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. That's what they wanted. That's what they got. The problem is that what they got, it's like sand in your hands, right? It's just like trying to hold on to something that just flows right through and you're grasping at it and you want it so badly. But have you ever searched for or desired the praise of other people? It's like an addiction that you can't get enough of because it goes away so quickly. You're grasping at air and you can't hold on to it, and it's fleeting. Even with Jesus, it was fleeting. Right on Palm Sunday, he rides in the town. The crowds are cheering. Hosanna in the highest. This is the dude. This is the Messiah. A few days later, they're yelling, crucify him. People are fickle. And so if you want a temporary reward for an act of righteousness, then do it to please other people. But that's not how we should live our lives. That is the wrong way to give. Third, the right way to give. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Once again, when you give to the needy, not if you give to the needy. And so as people that are part of the kingdom of heaven, our mindset is not sometimes in line with a strictly American Western way of thinking about life. Because sometimes that thinking can be, hey, I worked hard for my money. I am a self-made man. I got to where I am by hard work, dedication, scrimping, saving. And if somebody else is struggling, probably they didn't work as hard as I did. And what they need to do is just be more like me and chase that dollar or chase that improvement that you're wanting to do in your life and in your home and in your job or whatever it is. And I'm not saying that pursuing better in your life is a bad thing. But when that pride creeps in and you think that you are a self-made man, the Bible tells us that all good things are gifts from God. They come down from up above and they're poured into your life. And whenever you have the mindset that you've earned what you've got and you deserve it, and therefore nobody else should come knocking on your door and asking for it, you are not being like God. Be well aware that that kind of an attitude is anti-God. It is not truly Christian to think in that way, to think other people should have to earn your approval or earn to get a little bit of something that you've got. That's not how God gave to you. If God gave to you the way that sometimes we give to other people, none of us would have a chance. But God's love is gracious and giving, and it's just ridiculous, right? It doesn't make sense. And that's the kind of God we serve and the kind of God that we emulate. So when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That's just a simple way of saying, hey, don't go bragging about it, right? You need your left hand and your right hand to do this, right? Hey, I just gave. I did something wonderful. Praise for me. Instead, you can't clap with one hand, right? It just doesn't work. And so he's just saying, hey, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Just when you give something, don't feel like you have to spread the news about it for yourself and drop little hints so that people know how amazing you are. Because when you do that, you actually lose the spiritual benefit that would be there for you. So that your giving may be in secret. So our giving, in large part, should be secret, right? Not like highly classified information, but secret as in humble and as in not drawing attention to itself. Because if you remember back to Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says something that at first glance might seem kind of contradictory, right? Because we were talking about living this compelling kingdom life. And where is it? Chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to you. No, it doesn't say to you. Give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So on one hand, Jesus is calling us to the kind of habitual, daily, all of life righteous practices that can't be hidden. Because when you live that kind of life, you are like a light on a hill. And no matter how much you may not want all the attention, people are going to notice that there is something different about you. But your heart in that should be that you're pointing to Jesus, that you're wanting him to get the glory for how you are behaving and how you're doing this kingdom life. On the other hand, if you're trying to draw attention to yourself and saying, look how good I am, then the key difference in these two situations is the motivation of your heart to say, why really are you doing what you do? Is it for God's glory or is it for your glory? And you know that we all have a tendency to be glory hog, to want that glory for ourselves because it feels sinfully good. It's disgusting. And so we got to get over ourselves and make sure that we're pointing to God, giving in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. You know the Bible tells us that the Heavenly Father, He knows everything. He knows what you did last summer. He knows what you did last night. I mean, He even knows what you're going to do tonight. Psalm 139. We'll go there. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, You discern my thoughts from afar. Yeah, even your thoughts. God's got you figured out. You search out my path and my lying down. He knows what your habits are. And You are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it all together. You hem me in behind and before and lay Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from Your Spirit? The rhetorical answer is, well, nowhere, of course. You can't get away from God. Where shall I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, You are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, didn't we just sing a song that says God will cross an ocean to come after you? So even if I make my way across the sea, even there Your hand shall lead me and Your right hand shall hold me. Ecclesiastes says that now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the duty of mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. So our Father sees what we're about. He knows what we're up to, and He knows why we're up to those things. And so just know that, and let's go about our days and our practice of righteousness and giving, especially this week, this generous lifestyle, with knowing that God's looking, and that's all the reward that you need. And if you do that, the Bible says that He will reward you. We're not going to have time to unpack all that today, but we'll unpack it more in upcoming weeks, the fact that God rewards you when you live right for Him. You know, a large part of that reward is just knowing that your Father sees what you're doing, that He prompted you by His Spirit to do something, and that you quietly did it, and you can lay in bed that night going, the Father is pleased with my obedience. I did that, and maybe even at first I didn't want to give away that money or that item or my time, but I did it, and I knew it was the right thing to do. And there's reward in just simply obeying the Lord. There's short-term reward. To me, it's kind of like, I couldn't think of a good example for this, but I thought about like fertilizer, right? People are like, well, what reward is there in fertilizing your garden? Well, there's immediate, then there's midterm, then there's long-term. I mean, like, the rewards aren't just like, this is the one thing you get. Because right away you get the satisfaction of knowing that the soil has been enriched. And then in the short term, all your plants green up and become stronger. And God made us in such a way that we enjoy that. But then we also know that in the end, the fruit will be there. The fruit will be there from doing the right thing and amending the soil in the right way. And so the same is true of your spiritual life. If you obey God and you practice your righteousness in the right way with the right motivation, you will be rewarded right there in that moment. But then you will also be growing spiritually as a believer. And there's a reward in and of itself, is that you are becoming stronger in your practices and you're becoming more and more like Christ. And isn't that a reward in and of itself? And then at the end of your life, if you've done that on a daily basis and you got down on your knees and you prayed daily and you did that thing, you're never going to look back and regret regret the fact that you did that thing, but instead you're going to say, you know what, God, thank you so much that my life has been blessed and rewarded for that. Then you could say, like the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, right, that everything that I had gained, because Paul was like the biggest Pharisee of them all. I mean, the dude did everything, right? He worked so hard to do everything right, and other people were totally impressed by his lifestyle, but then God changed him in a moment, and everything that he had counted as gain, mind blown. I woke up and realized that everything I had worked so hard for, the approval of other people, it was garbage. It was rubbish. I counted all as loss for the sake of knowing Christ. It was enough. But that's not all, because in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul tells us that not only did he have the reward of losing everything and being beaten and losing all of his possessions and giving everything away and being shipwrecked and beaten and just slandered, wonderful things. The Bible says, right? Blessed are those who are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But Paul finishes out his race and he says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. This is like the last thing that we know that Paul wrote before he died. I am already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Get this. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. One of your rewards for a person who lives a life of quiet generosity is the crown of righteousness that the Lord will award to you on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And then you know what you get to do with all those crowns? You get to just throw them at Jesus' feet. I mean, I don't know about you, but I want to be in his presence one day and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, and then boom, hey, here's your crown of righteousness, and be like, I don't deserve this crown of righteousness, and to be able to give it back and say, I want to lay all my crowns at his feet, and be able to look back and say, it was all worth it. Everything you gave away, everything, all the time that you spent for other people, it wasn't a waste. So you might be feeling like that today, like, man, I'm tired, I've given so much, I've done so much, I'm just languishing over the things that have happened over the last couple of years. And the Bible tells us not to lose our zeal for the Lord. Don't stop giving, because the things that you're doing, they are not in vain. Be a generous giver. You're never going to outgive God, and he's going to use you as a conduit. If you'll trust him, I guarantee you this week, if you'll just trust him and you'll give away some of your stuff, your time, your resources, your hospitality, God's just going to fill that right back up. You don't have to live in a poverty or kind of a famine mindset, right? When we adopted our dog, or maybe I should say stole our dog from our neighbor, they had left her chained up in the backyard and left and went to jail and stuff, and there was no food and water, so we put that out there, yada, yada, yada. So then we just said, all right, we're adopting you, and brought her over, but she was used to not having like any food and water and stuff. Now she's really fat. But we would put her bowl down with food in there, and Olive was just a baby at that time, so she came up and she was trying to pet her and play with the dog food, and the dog turned and whoosh, snapped, because she wasn't a generous giver. She was greedy and selfish and kind of living a life of, I don't know when I'm going to get my next meal, so right now I can't afford to have you take one pebble out of this bowl. Until she got the idea that, oh, the meals are there constantly. I'm always going to be supplied. I don't have to run out. I don't have to be worried. Now she doesn't care. You know, she'll just leave it sitting there because it's like, I'll see what better comes along. You know, see what my options are today. See what that new baby drops on the floor. That might be some good stuff. I'm like a beggar at the rich man's table. So, hey, you know what? As a Christian, you could slip into a greedy dog kind of a mindset in your heart, snapping at people, and your first tendency might be to hold on to what you got and don't share. But you're missing out on the life God wants for you, where you give away and He replenishes. You give away and He gives back better. You think you're never going to get that time back, and then God blesses in such a way that you have more time than you know what to do with. So there's all kinds of ways that you can be generous, and just know that there's all kinds of ways that God is going to reward you for that generosity that you have, trusting in Him to fill you back up. Lord Jesus, thank You so much that You were so generous to us. Lord, You gave Your very life. You did not hold back. You certainly could have and maybe should have. But Lord, You poured Your love out onto undeserving people. And Lord, we thank You for that. God, remind us of how generous You are to us. And Lord, help us to practice this act of righteousness by being generous, giving people, giving to people in their moment of need. And Lord, I pray that that would mark our lives and our church. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.